Good morning. It is good to be with you again this morning, and I am really excited about what we're going to be teaching today. It has been a joy to prepare it, and I'm looking forward to delivering it to you, and I'm going to learn some more as we go through it together as well. Let me encourage you once again that today is going to be about understanding the presence of the Lord in our life and that He is here with us. And there are so many people who just don't know that. And there are some things that you're going to see that come along with that presence that will benefit people. Peace, no fear, provision. And so today, if you have friends who you know are struggling in any of those areas, don't hesitate to share this with them. Just click the share button and share it to your friends. That way, this message can get out, not to glorify me, not to promote me, but to set some people free. That's what my heart is about. That's what the compassion that I feel for people is, that they are bound up and I want to see them free. So let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We just declare right now that as we speak this word, you are washing us in the water of this word. And we boldly say, we will be changed. We will never be the same again. Holy Spirit, have your way. Teach us exactly what we need as individuals in this day. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Amen. Well, this is our eighth session in this study. And right now we've done five of the seven redemptive names. We're going to do the sixth one today and the seventh next week. And then we'll have a special session to finish up this series. We've covered so far Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Sid Canu, our righteousness, peace or shalom, Rapha, our healer, and last week, our provision, Jehovah Jireh. We looked in Genesis 22 last week as we talked about the Lord, my provider, and we saw how the Lord asked Abraham to take his son, his only son that he loved, and take him to a mountain that he was going to show him and offer him as a sacrifice. And we saw that in doing so, Abraham's obedient to his covenant partner enabled the father to be able to send his son in. Same attributes that he talked about to Abraham that he felt for Jesus. And in doing so, we got the Lamb of God provided for you and I. And Abraham had the ram who was caught in the thicket provided. And that just reminds me again to say to you today, if you're going through something and need some assistance, ask the Lord for it. He is covenanted with you to be your provider, and he will do so. How about we say it this way? Your ram is on the way. Now, you need to be where he tells you to be. You need to be hooked into a church where you're growing and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord and of his grace. And as you do, I can boldly say your ram will be on the way. The word Jireh comes from two words in the Hebrew, or Jehovah Jireh, and it's Jehovah and Ra. And Ra means to see, and it really means to see ahead or to foresee, and it's where we got the word prevision, which turned into provision, and that's really an archaic one now because provision means that you have the things that you need. So it's this picture of the Lord seeing ahead and providing for you, and he works through the blessing to do it in abundance. And that provision, the good news, is continues to us today because the Lord's name not changed. Just like he hasn't changed his name, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh is still the name of the Lord for you and I today. Psalm 67, I'm just going to read three verses here. Let the peoples praise thee. That's what God wants, is people to become aware that he is worthy to be praised by his goodness. Let all the people praise thee. Then he says, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. And listen to this. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. That is part of the reason he blesses us, because he loves us. He wants to be a good God to us. And when he does, we need to be seen by others as being the beloved of the Lord. Praise God for that. We saw in 2 Corinthians 9:8 what I believe is a great definition of being prosperous in the Lord. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. So here we are. We have our needs met. We have this abundance. And when he tells us to give or to promote or to sow into his works, then we have that with which to do it. Now, it's interesting because He'll trust us with a lot of abundance. But we have to be faithful with it. And so your abundance is going to be dependent on you to a great extent. Psalm 23 talks about our cup, what, overflowing. And so how big is the cup? Is it one of the little cups that we take communion in, or is it one of those big cups that you get at the convenience stores that you put almost a half a gallon in? That's our choice as to where we want to be with that. He also tells us in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 9 that he's given us seed to the sower, and he's given us bread for food. Now that says I need to eat the bread that he's given me, but I need to be able to sow and not consume that seed on myself. And when I do, I start this cycle that just builds and grows and grows. I sow, I get a big harvest, I give thanks. Thanksgiving brings more seed. I sow, and it just keeps growing. And that's how the Lord blesses us for others to see. And you may ask, well, how blessed do you think you need to be? Well, Deuteronomy 7:14 says to us clearly, you shall be blessed above all peoples. Now, that's not saying that I as a believer am to be blessed above you. Again, I've already said that depends on how we commit to him, how faithful we are with what he gives us. But what is it saying? That as a people, as his bride, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, ought to look to us and say, there's a difference there. It ought to be noticeable that we are the blessed of the Lord. 3 John 2 really summarizes it, and I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation this morning. It says, beloved friend, and that's where it starts, because you are the beloved, the beloved of the Lord. That's what started this whole giving process with him, was his great love for you. And it says, I pray that you are prospering in every way and that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul prospers. So what does that tell us? That tells us that this prospering we do needs to start inside. And when it starts inside and we're growing in him, we're growing in wisdom with him, we're doing the things that he tells us to do, we're being faithful with what he's provided to us, then it's going to manifest to us in this physical realm. And so that's how we grow, is by seeking him first. Seek him first, and when we do, what does the scripture tell us? All these other things are going to be added to us. Praise God. So today, let's move on into the sixth one, which is Jehovah Shammah, or we might say, I'm going to entitle this session, The Lord is Ever Present, and you'll see why in just a moment. So go with me or head to the 42nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, where in the 48th chapter, this name of the Lord is disclosed to us, and that's chapter 47. I think I said 42. So in this book, and let me just tell you, the Jews are in the Babylonian exile. They have forsaken the Lord, his ways. Judgment came. That's not the same covenant we have. Jesus took our judgment. And so they're laboring in this exile. And the Lord speaks to Ezekiel. And I like what Ezekiel means. It means strengthened by God. The EL is the part of the God's name on him. And the other part is strengthened. And Ezekiel was in the second group who came, who was exiled. And this was 11 years before Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, let me just remind you, Jerusalem, of which we're going to be talking about, the city where the temple is over and over today, that literally means a city of peace. And so in this book, Ezekiel reviews all their sins, and then the Lord begins to prophesy about their return. So this is talking about a physical event, but it is prophetic of what you and I have today. The spiritual part of it applies to you and I today. And so we want to be encouraged in this, just like they were encouraged. Now I want to read the first verse, and then verses 8 and 9 of 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, which is really our focus, in chapter 47. And there was the water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And so what we're seeing here is good things are coming from the presence of the Lord in his temple. And he talks about that it flows and it becomes like a river. And for a while, it's ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, swimming deep. And listen to what it says about it in verse 8. The Lord says to him, this water flows from the eastern region, toward the eastern region, goes down in the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. So this is telling us the Spirit of God flowing from us like a river, flowing in us like a river, through us, brings healing. Now you say, what kind of healing? Any kind of healing you need. Spiritual healing, physical healing. And then it says that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. So it's talking about abundance there, isn't it? For they will be healed. So it emphasizes that. And everywhere or everything will live wherever the river goes. So the river is bringing life to us from that place in the temple. And let me just go ahead and say, that place to you and I is in our spirit, man, where the Lord has taken up residence, where we've become one, one spirit with him. And what we're going to be studying today is really foundational in understanding when we're talking about being in him and he in us. So let's now look at chapter 48. In 48, the Lord describes kind of the division of the land and where things are going, where the tribes are going to be. And then in verse 30, he starts to talk about the city and its name. And I want you to go just skip that and let's go down to verse 35 because you've kind of seen the background of what's going on and how this is disclosed. It said, all the way around, talking about the city, shall be 18,000 cubits. And then it's got this phrase that we want to break apart. And the name of the city, so the city's name is important. The name of the city from that day, that's another phrase that's important, shall be the Lord is there, Jehovah Shammah. You might say the Lord is present. Now, let's look at this and let's take that verse and just talk about a few parts of it. The Lord is there. When it's there and talking about he's present, he's talking about in the city. And so where his name is, where he's placed his name is where he's going to dwell. And then we see from that that there's this phrase then that says, in that city, from that day. So it's from that day forward. Now that's important because that indicates then that that city is going to be have his name on it forever. Now it's going to be a new Jerusalem at some point, but the Lord is going to be there forever. And that's why I believe, and the Lord gave me the title of, the Lord is ever present. That's a promise we have. We talk about that some, but we're going to see it today just amplified. And I just pray right now that this will grow in you. The Complete Jewish Bible actually says Adonai Shammah is there. And if you remember, I told you Adonai, which means Lord or Master, a benevolent type Master, and certainly that describes our good, good, loving God, that sometimes they would use Adonai instead of Jehovah. And this is one of those cases. But again, the Lord is ever present. And I can go ahead and say, in you and I. Now, we might just say it if we read this, that the Lord is present or ever present in his temple or always present. And let's look at two Old Testament scriptures that give some further emphasis to this. Jeremiah 3, verses 17 and 18. And in our final of the seven names next week, when we look at the Lord, my shepherd, you're going to look at some verses just ahead of verse 17 here, where the gospel of the Lord is preached, the gospel of Jesus is preached. So again, this is a prophetic word to you and I, but a factual or a physical event that is being foretold for the Jewish people. New King James, verse 17. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God. Why? Because that's where he's going to rule. Jesus is. And all the nations, now that's Jews and Gentiles, are going to be coming are going to be, this says they shall be gathered to it, to the city. And look what they're gathered to, the name of the Lord. You see, one of the reasons we are talking about this, because the name of the Lord, it will draw people. Because the name of the Lord entails everything that He is, as we've been studying. So, they should be gathered to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. And you can't separate that name from everything that that name represents. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. And now what do we know? That we've been given and taken the heart of stone, taken out in a heart of flesh with the word written upon it. It goes on in 18. It says, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land I've given as the inheritance to your fathers. So what do we see here? The Jews are going to be united, and also the Gentiles with the Jews who believe in Jesus will be together as one. We see something similar in Isaiah 2, the first three verses. And as I read this, you think about Jesus' instructions to us is go proclaim the gospel throughout the world. Just think about that as we read this. Starts off in verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, which we would say we live in those days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. Certainly Jesus has been exalted. And the next phrase describes the result. And all nations shall flow to it. Again, Jews, Gentiles, because they believe. And I'll go ahead and say for the first of several times, others are going to be drawn by what they see in you and I. Many people, verse 3 starts out, shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Why are they going to say that? Because they've seen the blessing of the Lord at work to the house of the God of Jacob. And then here's where it sounds like our assignment. He will teach us His ways. We shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So basically he's saying you're going to come to Jerusalem. You're going to learn the way of the Lord. And you're going to take the good news of Jesus out. That's the prophetic word for you and I. So he is present in his temple. Now David called the temple that Solomon was going to build magnifical. That's in 1 Chronicles 22:5. That word magnifical is really interesting to me. But what I want you to see is as magnificent as that temple was, the temple that has been created, not by human hands, but by the hand of the Lord and by your mouth as you spoke what you believe, inside you is even more magnificent than that physical temple was. Glory to God. That's what dwells in you and I. That's what is in you and I, and it's where the Lord dwells in us. Now, think about this. The Lord is very serious, as you can see in Scripture, about where He places His name. He just doesn't put it anywhere. And He's also very serious about how His name is used. When we talked about the Lord our sanctifier, we saw He talks about don't profane it, don't take it in vain, and how He wants it to be revered. And in thinking about that then, think about the love He must have for you, because you are where He's chosen to place His name. The Aaronic blessing. It closes by saying, and I shall put my name by saying that blessing over you. He has placed His name on us. That tells you if you know how highly He esteems His name, according to His word, equivalent to His word, that's how high He highly esteems you. That's how much love He has for you. That's what a precious stone, a precious jewel, that pearl of great price you become to Him. And so He's not only put His name in us, but what do we say? Where His name is, there's all His attributes, all His characteristics placed in you. Now let's be candid. They're not all seen all the time. But that's my responsibility. As I submit to Him, as I learn His ways, as I hear His voice, and I become obedient, all those things can flow out. And when we do that, then we are what? We are highly esteeming His name that has been placed in this glorious temple. The Greek word actually calls it the holiest place in the temple, N-A-S-A. And to me, there in this temple that He has created in my spirit dwells the Lord ever present, Jehovah Shammah. Now, as I think about that, I've often said, to me, that is the pinnacle of His grace, that He would place Himself in me, this earthen vessel. And that just says to me, we can't focus on ourselves, because we need to focus on the greatness that has been placed in us. And then what happens? Out of it flows that river, and life-giving waters flows through this body, and this body then becomes healed and a strong, strong witness, a life-giving witness. I wrote down in my notes as I was preparing this, back a ways, Hallelujah-Yah. And so I say again, and just worship with me, Hallelujah, Lord, that You would place Yourself inside us. So the name of the Lord is there. Now, not only is the name there, but when His name is there, His presence is there. Now, the word that is used here for there is the word S-H-A-M in the Hebrew. And that's what it literally means, is the word T-H-E-R-E, there. Now, let me show you then how this word is first used in Scripture. You know, I'm a strong believer in the first use of a word really sets the tone for how it's used, particularly throughout all of Scripture. And it holds or maintains that description that the Lord is using with it. So its first reference in Genesis 2:8, it says, New King James, and most all the Scriptures I'll be reading today is New King James. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So the garden of the Lord was in Eden. And there, the word at Shom, He put the man whom He had formed. Now ponder this. He formed this man, and then He put him there where all the provision was. All his needs were met. No illness. Made a righteous man, and therefore could walk with the Lord. And that's the key, because He put him there because what? That's where the Lord was. They walked together in the cool of the afternoon and evening. Fellowshipping. That's the essence of why we are created. And that's what you begin to see with the Lord is ever present with us. That was His heart's desire from before time, before the earth was created. Now, He's just not there. When He comes on the scene, things happen. Things change. Exodus, 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. Talking to Moses, who has seen this burning bush, yet the fire doesn't consume the bush. God has fire that doesn't burn up things. Good things. God causes earthquakes that do no damage. Oh, what a powerful God we serve. So Moses sees this burning bush that's not consuming the bush, and he goes over, and the Lord says, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, was that spot always holy? Or was it holy because the presence of God was there and the Lord is ever present there? We see that where the Lord is, there is a holiness that comes to it. Now, we're going to see one other verse, but before I do, I want to just talk about verses 10 through 12 in Exodus 3 for just a moment. In here, what we see is that in His instruction to Moses, the Lord says, "Come now," verse 10, "and I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I shall bring the children of Israel out?" Boy, that's a question we've all probably asked the Lord. Why do you want me to do this? Who am I? What do I have to offer? And what do we know? We know that when He tells us to do something, that we're going to be enabled by His grace. But we also are about to see something else. So in verse 12, the Lord says, "I will certainly be with you. In other words, he's saying, my presence is going to be with you. That's why, that's how you're going to go be a deliverer for my people. And then he tells him, I'm going to give you this sign that you'll see when you go out and you worship. So what I want you to see with these two is the holiness of the Lord is where he is. But when he tells us and charges us to do some things, and we're going to look at a couple of other scriptures in a moment around this. In fact, we'll follow on to what he tells Moses in a discussion they have later. That the Lord is promising him what? I'm going to be with you. I will be ever present with you. Now look in the fifth chapter of Joshua. In the fifth chapter of Joshua, starting about verse 13, they've crossed the Jordan. By this time, Joshua has taken over from Moses, obviously, as Moses is deceased. And it says, and it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And a lot of people believe that this might have been a pre-incarnate visitation of Jesus. And I think it's possibly true, or it could have been an angel, but I tend to believe the former. And so he responded, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, in other words, the Lord of Sabaoth, the commander of the Lord of hosts, which Jesus was identified as in the new covenant, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, and you see here, the angel didn't say stop. So that's another reason I believe it was the Lord himself. What does my Lord say to the servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And again, we ask the question then, as Joshua acted on what he was told, what made it holy? Was it just a spot that had been, something happened? No, it was because the presence of the Lord was there. Now, why am I taking this time to go through these two? Where is the presence of the Lord now? Dwelling in you. Therefore, what does that say about you? You have been made holy, perfected in your spirit, man. And we can draw from that, and we can draw from that holiness and the forces, the power of his love, dealing with his being holy, separated, as we separate ourselves unto him, we can manage and control his flesh. Now, this flesh is never going to be perfectly holy, but there are so many degrees we can improve on as we walk out this life that we have. So never, ever lightly esteem where the Lord has placed his name, and that's on you. That's why you can have a love for yourself, not a selfish love. But you want to, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you got to have some love for yourself because of who dwells in you. That's what we esteem so highly. Now, many don't believe this. Many think of I'm ever present as described as omnipresent, which is what we're told in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. And let me go ahead and say, omnipresence is a wonderful, mind-bending thing. I can't get my head wrapped around that, that the Lord is everywhere all the time. But what I want you to see in this study, and let me read the verse, is that it's much, much more than what we're about to read. Where can I go from your spirit? Verse 7 of 139 says, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. So people take that and they just say, well, it's just saying that he's everywhere all the time. That's not what we are teaching about today. We are talking about the Lord himself in his fullness is present in you to work for you and to work through you for his people. So this is much, much more. And I want you just to see how much Moses esteemed the presence of the Lord. After they've left Egypt, they've wandered around. In the 33rd chapter, the 12th verse, it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest to me, bring up this people, and you've not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. In other words, Moses said, I'm going to need some help to make this happen. Yet you said, I know thee by name, and thee've also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, he continues and says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now. In other words, let me know now how this is going to happen, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this isn't my people, in essence. He's saying, this is thy people. So what an intercessory prayer. And look at the response of the Lord to him. And again, there's a couple of phrases we want to focus on. And he said, and you can underline this part. I would encourage you to. In my study Bible, I have it underlined. My presence shall go with thee. That is a promise that he gave him. In other words, I'm going with you. I'm not just going to send anybody. I'm going with you. My presence is going. And look at this. I will give you rest. In other words, I've given you a tough assignment. But I've also given you my presence. And that assignment with my presence is going to be a time of rest for you versus what? Turmoil and just labor. So see that with the presence of the Lord in us, we don't have to labor in what he's asked us to do. We can rest in faith in him. And we do the work that he asked us to do. But he's the one who really does the work. Glory to God. You know, one other verse in Exodus 33 that I think is important is about Joshua. We saw Joshua honoring the presence of the Lord as he bowed, as the commander of the Lord's army said to him. Took his shoes off. But look back at what Joshua learned before he was given responsibility. The 11th verse of this same chapter, 33, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp. And where is he returning to the camp from? The tent of the meeting. And look at this phrase. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Why? Because he esteemed the presence of the Lord. He saw the importance of it in Moses' life, and he knew that it was important in his life. That's why we need to stay today and spend time with him in his presence, learning. And then we too will value that presence, and we can walk in that rest that that presence brings. You know, Joshua here, I think he probably longed for the day where he could just sense the presence of the Lord every step. That's what David did. David desired what we have today. And I think that's just overwhelming, should be overwhelming for you and I to think about the fact that the Lord in the covenant we have has placed himself. He is ever present in the temple that he made in your spirit, man. Glory to God. You know, he went on and told Joshua in the first chapter of the book, fifth verse, after he talked about Moses, my servant's dead and it's your time now. He said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of their life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Can you write in your Bible, if you write in your Bible or if you're taking notes, you can write that phrase, so I'll be with you. That is a word, that is a promise that you have as a new covenant believer. The Lord will be with you. And then he finishes that verse by saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, we have that same promise as well. Gideon, remember Gideon was hiding there in the place where they would crush the wines, and he was crushed the grapes for wine, and he was beating out some wheat like he would do in a threshing floor, hiding, cowarding down. And the Lord came to him and said, O valiant warrior. And they had that dialogue. We studied this when we had Jehovah Shalom revealed to us, when the Lord revealed his name there. And after they discussed, I want you to look at what the Lord said to him. And this gives us a reason of why he could say, O mighty, valiant warrior. The Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. So what's the promise? My presence is going to go with you. I, myself, my presence, and you're going to see that includes the Shekinah glory before we're through with this today, will be there. And what does he bring to Gideon with that promise? His peace. That's where Jehovah Shalom. So let's look at a couple of other things that also comes with his presence. Last week, we looked in Genesis 26 at Isaac. He sowed in the land in the famine and received 100-fold. And then the people there in Gerar said, leave, you're too powerful for us. And so as he heads out to Beersheba, the Lord speaks to him in verse 24. And the Lord appeared to him that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Well, I think Isaac knew that. And then he says, do not fear, for I am with you. This is no longer just about Abraham. This is about you. Now, Isaac probably said, when Isaac probably thought when he said, do not fear, well, how do I do that? And the Lord did what? Gave him the answer straightway, for I am with you. And he goes on then and says, I'm going to bless you, and I will multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. This promise is ours as well, for Jesus' sake. Oh, glory to God. We share in this. We can say, you're with me, because Jesus told me he would send one who would never leave me. Verse 28 in this same chapter is really important too. And I want you to begin to see yourself as being able to be that light shining, not because of the flesh, but because of who's dwelling in this flesh with you. Now, Abimelech has run them off, and Isaac, as you remember, hit well after well after well. In fact, right after this, they hit another gusher. So that water is flowing. And Abimelech and two of his leaders come with him. And they say to him, we have certainly seen. I believe the Hebrew says, we've seen. We absolutely have no doubt. What? That the Lord is with you. So do we understand that it's not about us, but it's about the Lord dwelling in us that allows us to be seen by his goodness toward us? And then that's when they wanted to make a covenant with him. Now, in putting this one together, this scripture we just read and the one I'm about to do, I could just sense the Lord moving in me to take some limits off of my life, where I've probably put him in a box and I've limited the Lord. Yes, I've limited the Lord. You say, well, you can't limit God. Yeah, you can. Psalm 78, about verse 41, says that they limited the Lord. Some translations say tested, but they drew a line in the sand is in essence what that means. And in doing so, the Lord has just been building up in me, increase my expectations. Increase your expectations, man. Take those limits off. And then, lo and behold, this weekend, a saint here in Macon who has some insight into my heart from the Lord sent me a note. And the essence of what this prophetic word said was the Lord speaking, expect more of me. And that's not just for me. That's for all of us. Yes, it's for me with some things the Lord's talking about, but it is from all of us. And why can we expect more of him? Well, let's look at Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3. Joseph, stripped naked after they got him out of the pit where they were going to fake him being killed, sold to the guys who were coming down through the Ishmaelites, I believe. And then Potiphar buys him. And so he's stripped naked, and Potiphar buys him on the slave market. And that's what verse 2 tells us, verse 1. And then verse 2 says this, the Lord was with Joseph. There's that phrase again. He is present with Joseph, and Joseph was a successful man. Do you think there's a cause and effect there? Yes. And we're going to see that more and more today. So underline that if you underline in your Bible. The Lord was with Joseph. And what can you also do? You can write down, the Lord is with Minton, or the Lord is with Sharon, or Joan, or whomever, whatever your name is. And this goes on and says that he was master He was lived in the house with his master. And his master saw. He could see with his physical eyes that the what? The Lord was with him. The Lord is present with him. And that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. So we see here the presence of the Lord causes Joseph to prosper. And then Miss Potiphar goes and lies about him when she tries to seduce him. And Mr. Potiphar throws him in jail. And look what happens in jail. Starts off in verse 21. Same phrase. But, oh, the Lord was with Joseph. He's still with him. Even though they're lying about him, he's there with him. And he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the jails. And everything that the jailer had, I'm just going to paraphrase, all the responsibility he had, he gave to Joseph. And whatever Joseph said is what they did in the jail. 23, look at it. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. So now think about that. The Lord is present with him, and he picks up positions of authority, just like we do with Jesus, isn't it? We walk in his authority. And look at why he had that authority. Because the Lord was with him, same as you and I. And then it ends with another hallelujah moment. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, obviously, I think he was doing the will of the Lord. He wasn't just acting ridiculously. But whatever he did, he prospered. Now, I want to look at another example, and this is a big one, because in today's world, and I know we spent a lot of weeks on it early in the year, but no fear, his peace. But I want you to just look at these scriptures. We're going to look at several of them about no fear. Isaiah 41, verse 10. A very commonly quoted, often quoted verse. It starts off, fear not. And so you say, as others may have, well, how can that be? How can I not fear not? And here's another place for you to underline. For I am with you. That's why we cannot fear. Because the Lord is with us. And then we say, okay, Lord, I'll try not to fear. But all this stuff, it blows my mind. I'm just dismayed at all this going on. And he tells us, be not dismayed. For I am your God. So he's with us. He's our God. And then look what he says. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to hold you up with my righteous right hand, which I believe is Jesus at his right hand. Standing there, arm in arm with you, holding that shield of faith up out in front of you. Now, we got to have a hold of that shield of faith too. This is not talking about we're just going to let him do everything and sit back and say, que sera. No, we're being used by him to fight this good fight. Let's look at another one concerning fear so that we get more confidence in this presence, bringing peace to us. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Moses is talking to Joshua. And he says, and the Lord, he's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. How many times have we seen that said concerning Joshua today? He will not leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, do not fear nor be dismayed. So if Joshua is hearing this and is walking in it, and this peace comes upon him, what do we begin to see? That with the presence of God, with the Lord being there in us, all of his attributes are beginning to come. We've seen peace. We've seen Jehovah Jireh. Healing will come. With presence, we're going to see comes all his name. Look in Psalm 46. And let's read the entire psalm. Now again, if you mark in your Bibles, there are some opportunities here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So he's not far away saying, oh my gosh, look at the trouble Patricia's in right now. He's where? With her. A very present help in trouble. Verse 2, therefore, Now, I have to ask, what is therefore to push you back? So because he is a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. Well, a little fear is good. No, we've covered that bridge long before. No fear. You don't want to raise your children in fear. You want to raise them in respect, but not fear. And then look at these things. The earth be removed, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar in the trouble, the mountains shake and swell. And then it says, Selah. Pause and think about that. So I would submit the question to you. What are you going to pause and think about? Are you going to pause and think about the mountains and the earth and the waters roaring? Or are you going to think about, I will not fear, for he is a very present help in trouble? We choose. We have to make that choice. And what you think upon, what you meditate on, is what you make room for, and that's what you will become. Then it continues on, and with encouragement. There is a river. So here's our river again, we saw earlier, whose streams shall make glad the city of God. The holy place, there's that word again, because God is there. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. There is none higher. Even the demons, as we saw, acknowledge that. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. Now, physically, what is this verse talking about? It's talking about a city, and it's referring to the city as her. That's the physical part. What is the spiritual her? I would submit to you, it's the bride of Christ. It's those of us who believe. God is in the midst of the bride of Christ, each one of us. Therefore, we shall not be moved. And now let's make it about us. God shall help her, his bride, and those of us who make up his bride and his body. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, and he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. He's there to speak on our behalf, to tell us what to speak in today's terms. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, calmly pause and meditate and think about it. Then he says, come behold the works of the Lord. And he goes through this in 8, 9, and in verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. Another Selah moment. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. That is how he's going to be exalted. There is no other plan. You and I play a key role in that. And then it concludes by saying, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, in this psalm, I don't want you to see that this is just written about a people that were. I want you to see yourself in this psalm. See its impact on me. Of his presence, of Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh-Shema, in me, Jehovah Shammah, in me, the Lord is ever present there. To close out this section, go to Zephaniah, the third chapter. And many of you who are biblical scholars will know that there's a verse 17 here talking about he rejoices and sings over me. But I want you to look at what's before this. Because this is what places us in a position to see him doing that and to understand the value we have. Verse 15, the Lord has taken away your judgments. We've been forgiven. Jesus took care of that on the cross. He has cast out or cast down the enemy. The enemy is under our feet. Another work of the cross and the resurrection. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. That's underlinable. You can mark that one. The King of Israel, Jehovah, is in our midst. And it says, you shall see disaster no more. And then it refers in verse 16 to in that day. Well, what day? This day that we're living in now. He said to Jerusalem, do not fear, do not let your hands be weak. We've already seen he wants to strengthen us. And then look at 17. This is the verse we always read, but I want you to look at the first few words of it. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is ever present with you. He is the mighty one, and he will save. and he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And he can do all that because he's in our midst with us. The Lord, ever present. Now, we've seen Jesus in a lot of these Old Testament verses. But let's look at just a few New Testament verses, but we'll set the tone with another Old Covenant verse, Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign, he told. He's just prophesied. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In other words, El, God, with us. Now, again, this is talking about a manifestation of Jesus in the flesh, which he fulfilled physically. But it's also talking about us today as his spiritual children, because he is what? In our midst, God with us today. And we've seen that over and over and over. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, what age is he talking about? The church age that we live in, the one where he was referencing his bride a while ago, or where I referenced us as a bride, talking about Jerusalem to him. In Hebrews 13, the fifth verse, it's a little longer, it's a little wordy, but it's worth reading in the Amplified. Let your character and moral disposition be free from the love of money. So it's not about seeking money, all those things first, and I'm going to skip some of those. Don't crave earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstances. Four, middle of the verse there. For he, God, himself has said, and I have to keep my eyes on this because there's some of these will nots that are repeated, and I don't want to lose my place. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. As orphans, it says in the Amplified. Now, do you remember we talked about Jesus saying, I will not leave you fatherless, orphanos, as an orphan. And then it says, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. And then it amplifies that by saying, I'm not going to relax my hold on you. And we know the scripture tells us that no one can take us out of the Father's hands. Glory to God. It concludes by saying, assuredly not. So it's just emphasized over and over. He's with us. He's our present help in trouble. He's going nowhere. He is there for you and I, no matter what we face, to take us through it. And verse 6 goes on to say, from that we're encouraged, we're comforted, encouraged, and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? And why can we say this? The Lord is ever present. Jehovah Shammah is with me. And then we can be like Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he goes to the cross, John 16:32. And he said, indeed, the hour is coming, yet it's now come, that you'll be scattered, each to his own, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. Glory to God, we can say the same thing, because what? The Father is with me. We can say it because Jesus is with me. John 17:23 is a great verse. You've heard me teach it over and over because it says the Father loves you and I just like he loves Jesus. But look at the first part of it. Jesus said, I came that the world may know, or I've done this so that the world may know that you've sent me. God sent him so he could eternally be present with us because of that great love that he had for us well before we were even thought of in an earthly aspect. But in his mind, he knew us and he loved us. The Paul's two epistles to the Corinthians concludes in chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, the last verse, 14. Says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace came in Jesus. The love of God, God is love. And then it says the communion in New King James, NASB, New American Standard, says the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I read that verse because I want us to think about this fellowship part. We are one spirit with him. We saw in the garden that he placed man where? There, so he could fellowship with him. So what I want you to begin to see is Jehovah Shammah is so much more than just a name of the Lord. For us, it's a name, it's a word that implies what? Fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Father. In the Greek, the word is koinonia, and it's translated communion, partnership, and fellowship. And that's what we're called to be in that relationship with the Father. Matthew Henry, who wrote a commentary years ago, I found this in as I was doing some research on this and studying it. Let me just read it to you. He says, "It is true of every good Christian. He dwells in God and God in him. Whatever soul has a living principle of grace, then it may truly be said, the Lord is there. And from now until forever, God is there." And then he quotes Revelation 21:3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself with them as their God." Let me read this to you in the Complete Jewish Bible. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, God's Shekinah." Now, what's that talking about? Shekinah, glory, the glory of the Lord. "See, God's Shekinah is with mankind." Now, there's a shouting point for you. He's present. The glory of the Lord is present, is forever present with you. I'm not saying it's manifesting all the time, just like the fruit of the Spirit. That's something we have to draw out. And then it says, "And he will live with them. They will be his people. And he himself, God with them, will be their God." Passion Translation reads this way, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be among them." We can say today, we can read that as the tabernacle of God is among men, he is dwelling among them, we are his people, and God himself is in our midst. The Lord, ever present with you. I trust this has blessed you. I trust it gives you a confidence to act boldly in this name, in his name. Now, next week, we're going to wrap up the seven redemptive names, and we're going to look at the Lord, my shepherd. And then we'll probably have a follow-up session where we'll be talking about Jesus as we conclude this part of the series. So, again, share this with people if you know there are people who would benefit from hearing it. That's doing your part to spread the gospel, as we saw we've been charged to do today, even all the way back to Isaiah. I love you guys. I value you. I honor you that you would spend your time with us today. And we bless you with the name of the Lord that says, the Lord is ever present with you.